The other day I was reading this shit. You know what I'm saying? It was talking about how the white people in the
yes, sir. Let me dig into your brain. Folks falling like rain. Property got me selling things. Guess I'm gonna explain. Jane is rolled up, no gangs be throwed up. Jane is rolled up, no gangs be throwed up.
But there's only so much time left in this crazy world. I'm just crumbling through. I'm just crumbling through.
Yes, sir. Okay, what's going on, everybody? We're hitting y'all up with part number 2 of the Expo audio, letting y'all hear and get an idea of what went on and everything. So, hope y'all enjoyed the first part. This is the second part. Remember, y'all can hit us up, interact, let us know your feedback at herbox.com. It's herbbox.com. Hit us up, stay in touch. Also, if you guys need your audio, your podcast, anything done audio related, quality, high quality professionalism, years of experience, hit us up at meekmind.com. We do websites too. That's MEEKMIND. Okay, we out. Enjoy.
In the ground or in bag culture or in pot culture like this, and then you can actually see what's happening in real time basis. Is the plant using too much water, too little water? Are we keeping the plant in its optimum range or not? It helps us keep our plants in the right growing condition.
Now let me ask you this, because that takes a lot of science for what is doing that? I mean, what is, how do you know that if it's having enough water? Is it just, I mean, is it ran by, what is it ran by?
So what it's ran by is, if you think about a plant, so a plant is constantly taking, it's pulling water out of the soil.
Right.
So if you think about that, that's basically hydraulics. It's taking pressure to pull that water from soil particles, because soil particles will hold on to the water. And so if we think of a situation where there's not very much water in the profile, the plant has to pull that much harder to get what water is in the profile out of the soil. So we call that tension, that's soil tension. And so what we know what that measurement is, we've been measuring it since the 50s. I personally haven't been measuring it since the 50s. I wasn't here in the 50s, but you might think I was, but I wasn't. But anyway, so we've been measuring that for a long, long time. So we know exactly what that pressure is that it takes. How much pull does it take to get water out of the profile? So if we know from that when plants start getting stressed, what those ranges are dependent upon the plant itself. So depending on different plants, we know that the pull that it should take to get water out of the profile should be in the high range or low range or medium range. And so we set optimum ranges for plants, depending on what the type of plant is. We set optimum ranges of where we should keep our soil tension. And that's a real-time measurement of what it actually takes for a plant to pull water out of the soil.
Is this a meter reading, or is this an app that you have?
So it's a little of both. So it's not necessarily meter reading, but we place probes in the ground that constantly take this reading. Those all hook into one of our units over here to the side, and those send a signal every 15 minutes to the cloud. And so, and then I can pull that off with my app. I can pull it off with my computer. It's all password protected, obviously, per grower. And then they can look on there and see exactly what's happening in real time in any particular field that they have.
Even if they're using synthetic?
Yep, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
Nope. So we can see exactly what's happening in real-time basis in the profile.
Okay, where is this company based out of?
Well, we have an office here in Colorado. Our U.S. headquarters is in San Luis Obispo, California. And our Canadian headquarters is in Quebec, Canada, actually.
All right.
Work all over the world. We have these offices here, these three offices here. We have one, obviously, in Wisconsin as well. But we travel all over the world and put systems. And I'll be in Turkey here in about 30 days, actually. We also do full automation. So not only can we tell you what the plant needs are and what's happening with the water for the plant, but we can also control when your irrigation comes on and such if you choose to. Or look at weather stations or soil temperature, different kinds of items like that.
The whole, just run of the gamut of basically the whole environment of from the roots, plants, everything.
That's it. And we don't just sell the equipment, we actually service it throughout. So our whole game is
I don't want to just get equipment at your place. I want to be able to help you understand how to use it. So we train the people, we train their employees, we go out and install, we remove the equipment when need be, all those things. So it's really a part of the team is how we see ourselves.
So this is about, what, about 5,000, 10,000?
It totally depends on what your production needs are. So, for example, if you were a corn farmer here in Colorado and you had one center pivot, if you know what a center pivot is, all those circles you see from the sky when you're flying over the country, those are all center pivots. One center pivot takes one of these systems, generally for a corn, because it's a little different situation, and that's a couple thousand dollars a year is what that costs.
Is that right?
Yep. But
now, let me ask you this. A lot of times you got a lot of, this is new technology, a lot of your old-time farmers, it's been kind of difficult trying to get them to get into a system like this.
It can be an issue, yeah, there are, but you'd be surprised at some of the people that are coming in. Even I have some farmers, in fact, I'll send you with one of my cards. You go online and look at one of our testimonials. It's from a farmer who's in his mid-60s and he knows how to turn his computer on, but that's really about it. I set up his favorites for him, showed him how to get on there, and he does a great testimonial. Talks about, you know what, when I bought this thing, I thought I'd look once a week. He said, I look every day. So the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I look to see what's going on. So you'd be surprised, because it's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. And so you'd be surprised that even at those guys, how easy it is for them to get involved in and understand what's happening.
Well, the reason I said, we're from Texas, in Texarkana.
Yeah.
And a lot of foremen in Texas. And to get them to understand, some of the older farmers,
right,
you could feed fish, yeah, to some of the to your soil.
Right.
It was like I was talking another language.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
They're so stuck on cow manure that they don't want to hear nothing about anything that they haven't been doing since the 40s.
Right.
Oh, no. It can be difficult.
It can be difficult. We run into that too. Jason's out of Kansas, but he handles part of Texas as well. And it can be, but with any industry, because they can get set in their ways.
Yes.
And so it's really a matter of us building a relationship, helping them understand how we can help them, and to not threaten them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us, once we build that relationship and help them to see that, oh, yeah, we're not a threat to their older ways,
right,
but we have a way to help them.
Right.
And once they see how easy it is,
right,
oh, my gosh, it's really fun to see that happen, the kind of light.
Right. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, the light goes off. That's exactly it.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
So what do you guys do exactly?
I mean, we run a podcast. So we do a podcast. I've been just interviewing everybody out here, going there, all the booths, getting all the growers. It's our first time out here. We plan. I was going to go to the one in California in May.
Okay.
So this is something I can do and talk back. Because my father, we have 150 acres and we grow. But, you know, my father just like, I don't understand. I know the way that I used to do it.
Right, of course. Oh, yeah. No, this is.
But he's open to it. He definitely is open to it.
Yeah.
Now, I appreciate your time, man.
You bet.
Thanks a whole lot.
So, what's the name of your podcast?
Herbox.
Herbox.
So, please come check us out.
So, is this part of that deal?
Yes.
That recording that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Say your name.
Doug Larson with Hortel.
Okay, here you go.
All right, great.
I'm from Dallas, Texas, man.
Okay.
Hey, Dallas, Texas, what's your name, man?
Billy Porter.
Billy Porter. Now, why are you here? What's your name? Oh, of course, I know you're here, because are you a girl?
No, I'm learning the business.
Okay, same like myself. I do a podcast, Herb Box, here, and it's good to see us here amongst itself. So when did the light bulb go off in your head and say, hey, look, I got to get a piece of this? You know, we missed out, I feel like, as African Americans, when it came to the tech boom, we missed out on it. Like, we can't miss out on this green rush. So when did the light bulb go off in your head?
Actually, about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I came to the realization that I'm getting ready to retire from the federal government, and I'm looking for another outlet, another income, so I can help other people.
Exactly. You know what? I just retired from teaching after 22 years myself.
Okay.
And this is the same thing that I said. And so I started a podcast, and I just wanted to get out here and mingle and just let people know that we out here, you know, that we out here and we're going to be out here and reaching out. So I'm definitely, I need to get your name and number before we leave, man, so I can, you know, keep in touch with you.
Okay.
And definitely, since we both in Texas, you know, so hold on, everybody.
I live in Grand Prairie.
Okay, I used to teach at Grand Prairie ISD.
Did you?
Yeah, I retired from teaching, man. I have retinitis pigmentosis.
Yeah.
So made me legally blind, but I taught and coached for 22 years. I coached at South Grand Prairie High School. I was wrestling coach in
South Grand Prairie. Okay, okay.
Yeah, South Grand Prairie High School. But Dallas, I spent most of my time at DISD.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. You from Dallas?
I'm from Louisiana originally.
Okay.
But I went to school over at Thomas Jefferson High School.
What? Okay. Back,
are you a teacher?
No, my son is from TJ.
Is he? That's okay. Why I came out in 78 now.
Okay.
I came out in 78.
All right. So, yeah. You from the booth, though?
Yeah.
You from the booth?
Yeah, I'm from the booth. I claim Louisiana every day.
Okay, what, the Shreveport?
I'm from Natchitoches.
Natchitoches.
That's 60 miles south on 49 out of Shreveport.
Okay.
49 south.
Okay, okay.
Highway 1 used to run back to back.
You're young, but see, I'm gonna tell you, we from Texarkana, so we're 45 miles different, 45 miles different, right, 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 so it's, but now they just got the medical down in Louisiana now, don't they? Do they have the medical in Louisiana? Right.
They got medical in Mississippi?
But Arkansas is just about to get on the...
Herbox.
Yeah, that's the podcast, that's me. So I was asking him, when did the light bulb go off in your head to say, hey, man, we got to get in here? Because like I was telling him, when the tech boom came, the computers...
We missed out.
When did you say, hey, I'm not going to miss this green rush?
I was sitting next to a professor. I came out of North Texas, University of North Texas, right?
Okay.
So I'm sitting next to a professor at a Cedar Valley College.
Yeah.
Cedar Valley College.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there looking for something else, and they had a whole lot of Caucasian was standing one end mm-hmm. of the hallway down there. I'm nosy. What they down there for? What they down there for? Program on sustainability for cities, how the cities are becoming or need to become more sustainable.
Right.
All right. So green technology. All right. Green technology. All right. So I sit down next to this cat. Yeah, I got my Marine Corps hat on right now. It's Marine Corps, right?
Okay.
So I got my hat on. Keep my hat on all the time.
Uh-huh.
Guy next to me said, "Hey, I'm Marine Corps San Diego." Okay, I'm San Diego too. Came out in 78. He said, "I came out such and such day." He said, "My name's Ty Spinks." Right? That's what he told me. Ty Spinks. Okay, well, cool. We talking, chit-chatting. He got this nice little woman next to him. Real good-looking, beautiful woman. Real beautiful. I'm looking at this ugly rascal right here. Oh, what? He got to be somebody.
Oh,
no. He's too ugly to have a woman that pretty. That rascal was ugly, man. I'm looking at him. Oh, what? He got some money. Something happening here.
We don't condone hating on the podcast. It's a little hating, but we don't condone. But we're going to let it slide. He is from the booth. He's not from Texas. We don't condone hating.
Oh, all right, so he tells me right at that time, it was 2011. He said, "What are you doing now?" I said, "Well, I do some farming and some other things that I do." He said, "Stay in farming. They're going to legalize marijuana in 2017. I sit on one of the boards down in Austin, Texas. That's when he gave me his card that said Dr. Ty Spinks, University of North Texas. Mm. He's over the sustainability department.
Mm.
Right place, right time. God is good. So I just stayed within them, studying, learn how to grow different plants, work with hydroponics, aeroponics. Aquaponics. I work with all the ponics, you know.
Now the aquaponics is the one we've been on. We've been trying
fish.
To right, right.
With the fish.
Right, we're trying to do. The one thing I found out, they don't do well. Strawberries don't do well in our, you know.
No, because strawberries are acidic. You got to get that pH level just right with them strawberries.
Right,
right. And so it's water. The water temperature and your pH level got to be just right with mm-hmm. strawberries. The hydroponics works excellent, though, with the anything green and leafy.
Now, are you doing it indoors and outdoors? How can we get, I want to find the hydroponics to do outdoors, but it's so hot in Texas, you really can't do it because your water.
You got to control the tip of that water.
Right.
And you can get a chiller. It's called a chiller.
Why not just freeze your plastic bottle, Coke bottle?
I tried that, too, but it's just so hot.
It melts that quick.
See, I've done, like I said, my man here, Porter, I've done it. Everything that they're showing you in here on the high end, you can do on the low end,
right,
for $5 or $10.
Exactly.
Just open up that creativity side of your brain,
right,
and you can make it happen.
Right.
Now you can go get a chiller for about $200. Put down in the water system, your reservoir,
mm-hmm,
and that'll keep that water cool enough for you. Now, if you're gonna put it over, you gotta put it some type of covering over that green, because it just gets too hot in Texas.
Right.
July and August, 100 degrees, lettuce can't take that on the outside. But if you put a greenhouse over some type of covering, and then you know, you got your water right, got it chilled about 65 degrees, you can grow kale all year.
Now, are you doing the NFT or flood and drain?
Well, I've done all of them.
Okay.
Now, I like the deep water system.
Ooh.
Now, deep water, don't get it confused. Now, you can go to Walmart and get a 5-gallon tote. That's a deep water system.
Exactly.
All right? For $5,
right,
because it's 18 inches high. When you plant into the ground, a root is only gonna go about 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 inches, depending on what kind of plant it is. So when you're talking about an 18 inches worth of root in a water soluble system, if it's 18 inches high in the water, then usually that plant is gonna be about 18 inches high on top.
Now, but the problem that I noticed that when I was having,
yeah,
in the sun, my water was evaporating very fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even when I put the float in,
yeah,
what did you use to keep feeding it water?
You got.
I just kept going out there, and I was like, man, there's got to be a better way.
Well, that's where you look at your different type of systems. Sometimes a deep water system will work better. Sometimes a what is it called? It's called a different guy. Aquaponics, hydroponics, aeroponics. Aeroponics is just simply a sprinkler system.
Right.
Hits that bad boy every 15, 20 minutes or every hour. Then you can conserve water like that better. It's an automatic shut on, shut off system. Right? It'll hit the roots with your nutrients and whatnot, shuts off, you ain't lost no water.
But you gotta be right on the money with your nutrients on that system. You can't be messing around.
Yeah, but it depends on what you know, you tick around with it, you get it.
Yeah.
You tick around with it. Especially if you're going with aquaponics, now you don't have to mess with no nutrients because you got the fish. The fish
right.
Will be your nutrients.
Exactly.
So you have to work with that. But if you're doing hydroponics, you know, of course, yeah, you got nutrients you have to work with.
Now, the first fish thing when you do aquaponics, yeah, do you put any lake water to get your, to get, get
no, it? I use spring water. And the reason I use spring water, because I don't know what's been in that lake. It could be a dirty lake. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So if I use spring water,
mm-hmm,
you can go to the store and buy you some Ozarka. 5 gallons, whatever, 2 gallons, and use that water. So that's spring water, no chemicals. All right, use that. Start out like that, and then you know at least you know your water is clean.
Now, what fish are you using? Are you using
it? I started out with tilapia like everybody else.
Okay.
But you know, you can use shrimp. You can use catfish.
Really?
Yeah. Anything that produces poop.
That's true.
Anything produce a boat.
Well, man, hey, get his number so I can call you, man. I'm gonna get you back on like a man,
yeah,
here. And I say we need to start our own little organization. What I mean by
the
other
Texas too.
Man. Right, but we gotta start for other African Americans to know that they not the only ones. For a while I thought I was the only one.
You gonna remember this boom gonna hit so quick. You see, they already got greenhouses built in certain parts of East Texas. They're already lined up, physically built and waiting. So that means they already either got their money in place. They already got their money in place and the relationships they need.
Right.
Because there's going to be some criteria to getting those licenses. They're only going to hand out a few of them anyway.
Right.
And it's going to cost so much money. Ain't no Johnny come lately going to be able to walk through that door and say, I want a license. They're going to put their price up so high, only a handful of folks going to be able to do it. Right? So you got to be strategic and smart how you go about this thing. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, well, yeah, I mean, and it's gotta be, like you said, it's really gonna come down to money. That's what it's gonna, yep, come down to.
And relationships.
Exactly.
And relationships.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you got the right relationship, and whoever is on that deciding board see your name come across in that application, and you associated with somebody else over there, okay, yeah. And they're African American. They gonna,
okay.
No, we got to be in the number, because if we not there, represented in that, then the black farmer or the black girl, we left out the mix.
Right.
We're not there.
Right.
And you already see How many blacks you see here? A handful.
Yep.
See a handful, and it gets smaller when you get into Texas. There's these meetings you go to.
Now there's a black farmers meeting that we meet in East Texas over there, DeKalb, Brooks, Texarkana.
Yeah.
I would definitely let y'all know. I mean, and it's only, like you said, and it's a lot of old ones. And the old farmers, they said in their way, they don't want to use nothing but manure. Yeah. They don't want to hear nothing.
Nope. Nope.
They don't want to hear nothing else about no fish in motion. They don't know.
Right, and they gonna get left behind.
But I mean, they just farmers, but we need more farmers out here. You know,
the average farmer age now 65 years old. That's the average farmer.
Right.
So we don't have enough young folks getting into it. Did you know Ashley Pellerin, there, Tyler? She was over the agriculture department down there. Ashley Pellerin, she's in Houston now.
Yeah, from Texas.
Nah.
Ashley Pellerin, young girl out of Tuskegee University, Sharp. She was part of the Prairie View, Texas A&M system. All involved. She's Sharp's sister, dude. She was in the animal husbandry.
And what's her name?
Ashley Pellerin.
Oh, put that name down.
Yeah.
Put that name down. Because, you know, I can definitely find it out. I'm going to definitely find it. When's the best time to reach?
Now it's legal.
Yeah.
That's the whole sad thing about this thing.
It's still the sad thing about it, you know, when they do legalize it, that's the thing. They got to go back, you know, they got to look at the laws and stuff and everything. So, and just for, like the meeting I was saying down in Austin, right? The pharmaceutical and the drug dealers and
They're fighting against
legalizing marijuana.
And guess who else? The food distributors for prison is fighting against. I read that. The food distributors.
Why are they fighting against
it? They feed the prison. They feed the prison food. The food distributors feed the prison. You let 65% was drug.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Unfortunately, you know what I'm saying, my family died in prison. He got trumped up on drugs. But he had been there so long, you know, fighting cases after cases, you know, and he died in there, you know what I'm saying? And I wish he was out for a while, and I was trying to get him to go this route. But, you know, it just, that institutionalized, man, it just hard on us. But this is the way that we miss the computer. We miss the computer.
We missed all that.
You know, so
that's There's a few of us.
Right.
In Silicon Valley, I saw a report on a few, but then again, they got some issues because most of the Silicon Valley corporations, they don't go out and research or look for African Americans, so you got a schism in there.
Right. Yeah. Now this one, I can't see how you gonna push us out of this. You know, I don't understand why would you want to play on it. It's a play.
Knowledge is power.
Right, exactly.
And see, when you don't have enough folks here representing, we came from Texas. You from Texas.
Right.
But look at how many of these other folks. You got folks from Utah, from Canada.
Other countries. What are you talking about?
Other countries.
There's people talking a whole other language. Right. I say, like, man, where they from?
Right. See, they trying to find out about this. They putting the extra effort to get ahead of it. You know, if me and you start out right today, we know absolutely nothing. Because this is how it has happened for me. When I started out with hydroponics and aeroponics and all that stuff, I didn't know anything about that. But research, trial and error and all that. Now people come to me, ask me, like, how do I do this, this, and this, and this? I've only been doing it for a few years. So same thing with this right here.
Why don't you put a class on and you can have people join, they a bio session on that meet event.
That meetup.
Yeah, the meetup, or event, they buy through that. Why don't you do it?
They got some guys. I was in on some guys when they first did that.
Uh-huh.
And they still on there. One was a machinist. Their name will come to me in a minute. And you know who Paul Quinn is?
Yes.
They got a hydroponic system out there.
Yes.
Charles Plummer was in on that. And I call other guys' name in a minute. But they started out a couple years before I did. Now, right. They're so-called godfathers of it because they were the first ones.
Right.
And everybody goes to them. So the same thing with this right here. What we're finding out about the technology that they're using, you're going to have two ends. You're going to have the money end where you go buy a $70,000-$80,000 extractor that'll separate that THC out of the hemp, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. Right. Or you can do it a cheaper way. Get you a skillet, put it on your stove, heat it up, put you some butter off in there with the marijuana, and it'll separate itself. The same thing that extractor did.
All you gotta do is strain it.
All you gotta do is strain it.
I do mine in a cooker.
There you go.
I'm gonna tell you right now, and I can say my T-Jones, my mother, you know, from Texas. Yeah. My mother, she was taking those pills for her knee replacement. Right. I said, "Mama, gonna take them pills." Yeah. So I'm taking them pills because she was like, "Ooh, I'm so woozy." I came up here one time doing another in a Colorado Springs, and I got the little old concentrate.
Right.
I put it in a little Bath and Body Works vanilla bean.
Mm.
She ain't took the pills yet. As a matter of fact, she had. I don't mean to talk about your mama. I don't mean to talk about you. How can I get this on JCPenney's catalog? I said, "Mama, you can't."
Don't do it, mama.
I said, "Mama,
don't tell nobody about this, mama."
Hey, mama, you know I love you. Mama, I won't be talking about
don't
you.
Do it,
but mama, you can't buy everything on JCPenney's catalog.
You ain't told nobody how you, mama.
I ain't talking about you, mama. You know I love you. You know I love you. But when you said JCPenney's catalog, I had to fall out, man. I fell out there. I said, "Mama, don't tell me you still."
She didn't tell all her friends about it.
Hey,
you my son.
But wait a minute, and that's what I'm seeing. Even our older black folks, they in pain. They won't even say nothing. You know how your grandma was.
Yep.
She doesn't. She didn't never say. She in pain. We don't have to have them suffering no more, because they don't have the money. So they go ahead. We'll suck it up.
We'll spit the pills up.
You know what I'm saying? We're scared of shots. Yep. But we ain't gonna do that. You know? You can tell a black person, "Hey, this gonna heal everything, but you gotta take a shot." Well, I guess I'm gonna be hurting because I'm not. They would not.
We ain't got no pills. Yeah. But we'll do a pill in a minute.
Hey,
they got us on the pill.
Yeah, exactly. We need to get them off the pills to let them know that you can take some of this. Because my mom said, "How can I? Is this gonna get me high?" They don't know. They don't know. It's a whole lot of things. Like you said, we got to get them into it and letting them know.
It's education.
Exactly.
It's all education. How you do it.
Right.
How you do it. And sometimes, because I do nutrition as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just meet people where they're at. If they're at Walmart, let's track up a conversation with this person right here of why they shouldn't eat those red meats.
Exactly.
If nobody's ever brought it to them, they chowing down on their steak, wondering why their blood pressure is high.
Hey.
Got all kind of issues. I ain't trying to step on no toes, sister. I just threw that out there. He pointed.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're right.
But education.
Right.
There's such a bad name around weed. Wait a minute. The federal government outlawed weed back in 1933. And it was a cotton industry that came in and said, "Listen, we don't want no competition." And hemp.
Right. A nylon company. Yep.
Right. We don't want no competition.
DuPont.
So make that a level two, level one?
One.
Level one. Make
See,
it a
right,
level
right
one.
Right next to her. It don't even make no sense. Don't make
it
no
a level
sense.
One.
That's like putting a Volkswagen Bug right beside a doggone. Yeah. You can't put the two cars in, say they are two automobiles, but they're not the same.